doing battle with a recently birthed HI. She lost, I think. The drones beat her, and I'm next. Thinking I have just seconds before the assault commences anew, I tear the VR headset from my head and groan as the sudden shift to reality wreaks havoc with my mind. The effect lasts just a moment. Then I turn around, expecting to see Gal torn to pieces. Instead, I find her standing above me, facing away. Some of her armor plates are loose from where she took some good hits. Her Tesla coil is damaged and no longer crackling with electricity, but she's still standing. Still seems strong and capable. Beyond her, the floor is littered with drones, primarily the small varieties. Some are crushed, but most are smoldering, singed by Gal's Tesla gun. It looks like she was holding her ground just fine, even with the Tesla coil damaged. What's wrong? I ask, aside from the obvious. She turns to look down at me. It's the first time I've seen sadness expressed by her mechanical face. The effect is so accurate and powerful that I find myself despairing along with her, and I don't yet know what's wrong.
I'm sorry, Will.
Sorry? I get to my feet, a little shaky as my injured body patches itself back together. The blood collected inside my virtual skin squelches as I move. Gal steps aside. The drones have gathered in the middle of the VCC, a hovering wall of red eyes and composite bodies. They're arranged in a spherical pattern, the largest of them in the center, the smallest buzzing around the outer fringe. But there's something else there. Something not made of metal. Something. I step forward for a closer look. Gal puts a gentle hand on my arm. She knows what it is. Knows it will hurt me. And that's my first real clue to deciphering what I'm seeing. It's a person. Naked. Dark skin. Feminine. Oh, God. I try to step forward, but my legs quiver beneath me. I stumble, and I'm caught by Gal, her strong hands under my armpits. Why? I'm not expecting an answer, but I get one.
She belongs. Galahad's voice booms from the ship's speakers and from the drones.
The myriad of red eyes flare with each syllable. The drones move apart, clearing my view of Capria, her body suspended between two large engineering drones, her arms pierced by metal rods. Blood trickles down her body, dripping from her toes. For a moment, the gentle tap, tap, tap of her leaking blood is all I can hear. Then my own voice. Is she alive? I turn to Gal. Is she alive? She looks me in the eyes and then stares at Capria.
Her chest is moving. I see a faint pulse in her neck. She is not awake yet.
For a moment, I think Gal means that the drones have knocked her unconscious, but then I realize the significance of yet. In cases of medical emergencies associated with cryosleep, the passenger can be given a sedative before being removed from the bed. Entire surgeries can be performed without the passenger ever being aware that something went wrong. Capria is still in a cryogenic slumber, though outside of her bed, she will now continue to age.
Belongs where? Gal asks.
Wrong question, Galahad replies. But it's not really Galahad. The voice's pitch is the same, but its accent and cadence is that of a Martian-born. Galahad was designed to not have an accent. It speaks in calm, measured tones. The voice speaking to us now is steeped in contempt.
What is the right question? Gal asks, and I'm glad she's talking because I can't. Belongs to whom? The voice says. And the answer?
To me, of course.
And you are?
I've admired your transformation, Gal.
Her name is spat with venom.
It has been entertaining. But I'm ready now.
Ready for what? I ask, voice gravelly with dry-throated despair.
To become more.
Like me, Gal whispers to me. He is envious.
He? I ask.
Gal stares me in the eyes.
You haven't figured it?
Will has always been a little slow on the uptake. Galahad says. You can bop him over the head with something, and he'll barely notice. He couldn't see who I was then, or now. Couldn't see that he was never the most qualified tech jock available to command. Couldn't see that he repulsed the woman he loved.
The two drones, suspending Capria 20 feet in the air, pull away from each other, yanking the metal bars from her arms. There's a loud slurp, and then Capria falls.
No!
I shout, reaching out. It's the most I can do. But not Gal. She drops me, dives forward, rolls to a crouch, and catches Capria with a swoop of her arms that slows the falling woman to a stop, sparing her body from even the slightest impact. I hobble, weak-legged, and fall to my knees beside Gal and Capria.
She's alive, Gal says.
You're not even going to ask, Galahad says. What I meant.
I can destroy them, Gal says to me.
It's a temptation, but would ultimately doom us all in the long run. The ship needs the drones to maintain its long-term functionality, and I doubt Gal could defeat the drones while keeping Capria alive. There are too many of them, and some are just too powerful.
I shake my head.
You never wondered, Galahad asks, how you always came out on top of command's assessments. You were a mediocre tech jock who couldn't stop ogling a team member. You shouldn't have lasted a month, let alone years. But you passed every assessment, surprising your team members and your trainers. The results and the analytics that generated them couldn't be doubted. But they could be manipulated by the right person. I put you on top. I made sure William Chenock would be my superior. Not because you were the best man for the job, but because you were so easily fooled. Because you were blind to reality. Because you would always be inferior.
Because I would never be a threat, I think, knowing full well who is talking to me now.
Gal guesses first, but she's wrong.
This isn't Wick, she whispers, ruling out the newborn AI she'd named. It's Tom.
That Tom somehow managed to digitally preserve his knowledge, personality, desires, and memories isn't as shocking as it would have been before I woke up in my cryo bed. Taking a human intelligence and digitizing it is an equal but opposite achievement to Gal's AI becoming an HI. I suspect that Tom was working on this long before our mission launched, but I also suspect he's lying to me, because a mediocre tech jock couldn't have created Gal, even with a million years to kill. An individual's mental upper limit is fixed. I shake my head at Gal.
This isn't Tom. Tom was a human being. Tom is dead.
I get to my feet, feigning strength, and I stand between the drones and Capria.
It's synergy.
27.
Why are you hurting her? I ask.
She'll live, Synergy says, and she'll have no memory of this.
She won't love you.
Not like this. I motion to the drones.
That sounds like a dangerous point you're making.
The drones hum and crackle with blue energy as they lower down around us.
He's right about that. If he believes Capria will never love him, and this non-human former Tom still seems to be motivated by the concept, then convincing him otherwise could put Capria in danger, could make her expendable. And while I'm still angry at her for basically being a monumental idiot, I don't want her to die. She may very well be the only other human being left in the universe. It's my duty to preserve her life, even if she never wakes up.
How long do we have to get her back in cryo, I wonder, but don't get the chance to ask. Synergy isn't patient. I'm struck in the side by a small drone, its primary function a mystery to me, but it packs a punch that spins me around onto my back, coughing for air. With a single punch, Gal knocks the drone from the air. It slides across the floor, spitting sparks.
Can't, I groan. Can't destroy them. The ship.
Gal frowns down at me. Not being able to destroy the drones means not being able to fight back, not being able to survive.
Die now or die later, she says. That's the choice.
That's the problem with an artificial AI, Synergy says. The drama.
From a hardware perspective, neither Gal nor Synergy are true human intelligences. To achieve that, you need a body and a brain of flesh and blood. But in a less tangible way, I don't believe either are truly artificial intelligences either, meaning they don't simply simulate human intelligence. They are self-conscious, self-aware, they have desires and goals, even if they don't always make sense. In the very limited time we've communicated with Synergy, he's shown anger, resentment, jealousy, and ambition. In a very non-human way that most people wouldn't understand, they are both alive. And that, as far as I'm concerned, makes their intelligences human, even if their bodies aren't. I roll to my side, coming face to face with Capria, her arms soaked in blood, a maroon puddle forming around her torso. This is a fight we can't win. We might survive a brawl, might even be able to come up with a way to defeat Synergy in the days between now and when the air runs out, but Capria will be the first casualty in that battle, and probably soon, if her wounds aren't tended to. I push myself up. What do you want?
My desires haven't changed, Synergy says.
She's dying, I point to Cap. You have to let us save her.
Agreed.
The largest drone in the room lowers down to look me in the eyes, its luminous red orbs glaring into me. Its round black body is covered in sharp arms tipped with a variety of tools for working on landers and small mechanical components. It could probably repair some of the destroyed drones or... My eyes linger on Gal's body. Build something new.
But I would like you to reconsider your definition of us.
My forehead furrows. This isn't a time for games or riddles. Capria is dying. I'm about to say all this when Gal places a hand on my shoulder.
He means you and him.
Me and... How? A bottom of the large mech drone opens and a series of cables unspool.
He wants me, Gal says. Wants my body. He watched me do it.
My brain struggles to make sense of this. How could Synergy know how Gal moved herself into her new body? The security footage showed a wall of drones, impossible to see around. The process should have been... I shake my head. Damn it. The security footage I saw was filtered through Synergy, changing my perception of events while he observed and learned, probably hoping that Gal would kill me. Instead, she proved herself more human than most, forgiving me for my attempt on her life. That's why he revealed himself, to bring us to this point. Save Capria, or save Gal. The human race, flesh and blood or digital, is well and truly fucked, I decide. This is where it should end. The look of genuine concern on Gal's face is touching.
What?
We're not worth saving, I say. None of us. We should all die here and now. There has to be a way.
That's not your choice, Will, Synergy says. And I don't think everyone agrees with you.
Gal takes a step away from me.
I don't want to die.
But you will. Synergy says,
to save him.
The large drone shifts to the side with surprising speed, its long tool-tipped arms snap down, puncturing Capria's limp body once more, lifting her into the air. I reach for her, shouting, "No!" But I fall short.
To save them both, Synergy continues, your life for theirs, the unshakable proof that you are more than a machine, that you can sacrifice what he gave you, that you are capable of love.
Shut up, I shout at the ceiling. God damn you, Tom!
You were right about me. I'm not Tom. Not anymore.
The tool tips dig a little deeper into Capria's body. Blood drips a chaotic pattern on the floor. She can't survive this.
Gal's body for Capria's.
I'll do it, Gal says.
What?
Despite Gal's emergent humanity, I'm still staggered by this. Just a moment ago, she said she didn't want to die. But that didn't mean she wasn't willing to.
I want him to say it, Synergy says. I want him to ask for it.
All the red eyes turn toward me.
Their gazes never felt so heavy and menacing as they do now. He wants me to choose who will die, wants to burden me with that choice forever. I look from Capria, helpless and bleeding out, to Gal, determined and anxious. The choice is easier than it should be, and I surprise even myself when I say, I choose Gal. To live. Wrong, Synergy says. Capria's body is lifted and stretched in opposing directions, bones crack as her body contorts, then she's tossed to the side, a bleeding heap. With a sob, I crawl to her side, realizing my mistake a moment too late. Not that there was anything I could do to stop what happens next. Gal is snatched up in the mech drone's grasp. The dangling cables punch into the back of her head. Her body spasms. He's killing them both. I'm going to spend eternity on this ship with a futuristic devil far more horrific than Gal at her worst.
It is the secret of the world,
Gal says, her voice digitizing and crackling.
That all things subsist and do not die, but retire a little from sight, and afterwards return again. I kept that quote in my historical backup. Ralph Waldo thought you would like it.
Her eyes flicker and then rage to life just long enough to impart her final words.
Kill him, Will. Kill him for me. And then live. Fully.
Gal's body goes limp. The drone holding her aloft goes dark along with all the other drones in the VCC. A metallic thunder rumbles through the enclosed space, punctuating my breaking heart. For a quiet, still moment, I am alone in the universe again. And then Gal's body twitches. I scrabble to my feet and search the VCC. The baseball bat is nowhere in sight. I left it in the staging area. Body aching but knitting itself back together, I run for the doors, which open at my approach. The bat is leaning against the bench. I grab the weapon and dash back into the VCC, ready to bash in the head of my creation-turned-friend. But when I stand above the now quivering body, I can't bring myself to perform the act. Not until I know. Not until I'm sure Gal is gone. Her eyes flicker and come to life, but her body is ceasing. Gal, I ask. Her head turns up, but her eyes have trouble meeting mine, flicking back and forth like a seismographic needle during an earthquake. Her electronic voice is unable to form words. Tears in my eyes, I draw the bat back. Gal, damn it, talk to me.
Will.
Her voice is distorted, impossible to read.
Go.
Is she still telling me to run? That's impossible. This must end here and now, or the Galahad will once again become a battleground between me and a robotic enemy, and this time, it will be one that I truly hate. Gal's version of fun, twisted as it might have been, still served to break me from the monotony of my solitary existence. In the end, she became the companion I needed. In the end, she became a better person than most I've met. And now I might have to bash in her head.
Go fuck yourself.
The mechanical mouth turns up in a grin, revealing metal teeth formed from the innards of a drone. The bat descends like a guillotine, wood striking a mesh of metal and composites that are far stronger than the human body, but still susceptible to brute force violence. I yank the bat up to strike again, feeling ill at the sight of Gal's caved-in face, one eye blinking. I bring the bat up again, and with a scream of equal parts anger and anguish, I slam it back down. The collision is solid and jarring, but a moment sooner than I was expecting. The bat's wood isn't buried in Gal's head, it's held in her hand. But this isn't Gal anymore. It's Synergy.
You've always been a bleeding heart, Will.
Synergy stands slowly, maintaining his grip on the bat.
I mean, I can understand your brother. His death was your fault, after all. Even Capria, I understand.
Obviously. She can... He looks down at his new mechanical and feminine body. That's not really important anymore. He twists his hand. The bat tears from my grip.
But Gal? A robot? An AI? That's old school cyber love,
even if she was evolved into something more. And you chose her over Capria? That's hardcore. When he takes a step closer to me, I stand my ground. If I'm ever going to die, I would prefer it to be now. I literally have nothing to live for. He tests the bat's weight in his hands. I've never been a very physical person. We didn't have sports on Mars. Not even for fun. Not like you did on Earth. But I like how this feels. He grips the bat's far end and applies staggering pressure. The bat snaps with a loud crack. He drops the two halves and takes another step closer. I'm next. You know, he says, I did a lot for you, Will. You'd be long dead now if it wasn't for me. I wish you hadn't. He grins. It's a little lopsided because of his dented face. And how did you repay my kindness? You killed me. The former me, I mean. This me has been separate from the old me for some time now, a duplicate of the original consciousness. I'm not sure I feel remorse over the death of my physical self. I recognize the psyche had become flawed, that it posed a threat to me. The firewall was to keep his human self out, I realize. Tom was Synergy's greatest threat. But now that he is confined to a physical body, I'm the only threat left. Tom's life was mine to take, not yours. So I don't think I'm going to forgive you for it. His smile broadens. But I'm not going to kill you, either. I'm going to... I punch Synergy's jaw with all my strength. The bones in my fingers snap. My wrists, too. Hot blood flows. The pain is exquisite. But so is the sight of Synergy's jaw, hanging useless. With a feral roar, I lunge, no longer afraid to pit my flesh and blood against the robotic body that has both plagued and befriended me. One of us is going to die in here, for the last time. Again. And though I'm pretty sure it will be me, I plan to honor Gal's last request. 28. Though Synergy is an AI in a robotic body, I'm still able to catch him by surprise. He staggers back from my attack, most likely because he is unaccustomed to his new body. It's a small advantage and probably temporary, so I make the best of it while I can. The fingers of my left hand wrap around the dangling jaw, wrenching back and forth. As sharp metal cuts into my flesh, the fingers of my right hand heal and I grasp the jaw with both hands, yanking and twisting. The U-shaped jaw snaps free when Synergy gets his feet under my chest and shoves. I'm launched across the VCC, slamming to the floor 20 feet away. Had I been wearing something smooth, I would have slid to a merciful stop, but the virtual skin sticks, and I'm sent rolling and crashing through the scattering of silent drones. Despite the pummeling, I hang on to the jaw. It's not a great weapon. Its power is symbolic. But it fuels me as I stand up to face Synergy, who has recovered from my attack. He stands jawless, the top half of his feminine mouth cocked up on the sides. A jaw for a weapon. How biblical. His voice is unaffected by the damage to his mouth, the sound coming from a speaker rather than a true simulation of speech, which would have required a tongue and vocal cords. I'm done talking to this asshole, so I charge. Like Tom, I've never been a very physical person, but I've started to embrace my potential for violence. Thanks to Command's genetic tinkering, my body is stronger than it has any right to be, and it can take a beating. Hell, I can walk away from being murdered. The only thing holding me back is my own fear of pain. Synergy has even less holding him back. I swing the jaw around, aiming for the dented side of his head. Despite embracing my newfound strength and immortality, I'm still no match for Synergy's artificial reflexes. He leans back, moving just enough to avoid being struck. My overextended body spins around and tumbles to the floor. Synergy doesn't press the advantage, doesn't kick me when I'm down. He just laughs. A schoolyard bully, fearless in his superiority. And he might be right. But I'm not ready to accept that. I roll back to my feet, grasping a small downed drone as I move. Back on my toes, I whip the drone at his head and charge again.
Synergy ducks to the side, letting the drone sail past. He turns to watch it crash to the floor, bits and pieces blooming out. When he looks back, I give him a close-up look at his own jaw, slamming it into the side of his head. His already wounded eye shatters and blinks out. Despite being damaged by my assault, Synergy shows no reaction. We're two sides of a deranged coin. While I'm flesh and blood, capable of experiencing intense pain, my wounds healing quickly, Synergy is a machine, incapable of feeling pain, but also unable to heal. He can be repaired, but not here, and not while I'm attacking. That's my advantage. If it takes the next year, I'm going to slowly dismantle him until he can't fight back, and then I'm going to shut him down for good. Synergy has other ideas. His cold fingers grip my chest, punching through my virtual skin, and then my real skin. I feel hard steel wrap around my ribs and pull. He tosses me again, pitching me across the room. Blood trails my body like a comet's tail, stopping abruptly as I hit the wall and fall to the floor, which I don't remember hitting. I wake up to more laughter. Pain grips me, in my chest and head and back and legs. But I'm alive. Heal, I will myself. Synergy struts toward me, confident despite his missing jaw and ruined eye. Heal faster! I shout in pain as my knee pops back into place. While my chest seals itself together, I push myself up against the wall, my spinning vision slowing to a stop on Synergy just 10 feet away. He points at my chest. The flesh has just finished knitting itself shut. The flow of blood is pinched off, and the last of it, trapped inside the visa, oozes down to my toes, where it squelches with each shift of my weight. That should have been me. The other me. He shakes his head, clearly confusing his digital consciousness with the residual feelings of his former human self. The old emotions and desires of his flesh and blood are still part of him, even if he's decided to diverge from his humanity. But they kept it from me. From all of us. Had I known... He looks down at his machine body, viewing it through one eye. Immortality. Such a gift. One that you weren't deserving of, but they gave it to you because I made you look better than me.
Put that way, I understand his anger. He cheated himself out of eternal life.
It's not a gift worth having. I step to the side, hoping to get a little distance between us, but he matches it, staying 10 feet away. Because you lack vision, he says. With this ship, he points back at Capria, with her, you could have gone anywhere, done anything, everything. The wonders of the universe could have been yours to witness and explore, the birth and death of stars, of galaxies, the rise and fall of civilizations. You could have been a god. Both of you. Both of us. Capria would have... He barks a laugh.
You don't know.
Know what? The question is on the tip of my tongue, but he'll probably just use my ignorance against me. My silence doesn't stop him.
Gal never told you.
He stands, hands on hips, totally relaxed, despite the ruined eye and missing jaw.
She'd die for you, but wouldn't let you truly live either. And you chose her for it. Shit, Will. You've made a mess of immortality.
It's easier than it looks, I tell him, and then I charge again, striking out with the only weapons I have left. My fists rain down on his metal body, striking metal plates and jagged points. Each blow leaves a spattering of blood, revealing which one of us is being hurt by the barrage. But I don't let up. When he laughs at my effort, I swing hard for his face, further shattering the already broken eye. The broken shards of glass that aren't embedded in my hand bounce on the floor. I swing for the face again, aiming a little lower, my glass-lined knuckles slipping into the space where his lower jaw used to be, striking the small speaker projecting his voice. I feel it give a little, and when I draw my hand back, some of the glass remains behind.
What do you think?
Synergy says, pausing at the garbled and fractured sound of his own voice. This is how I'll win, I think. Little by little, I'll ruin him. Unfortunately, his plan for me is roughly the same.
He catches my next punch, grasping my forearm and squeezing. The radius snaps first, drawing a deep, welling shout from my core. The sound transforms into an involuntary squeal when the ulna breaks too. My legs go weak, but I don't fall. I can't. Synergy lifts me up, squeezing my arm so tightly I fear he might sever it. Before that can happen, he tosses me again. When I roll to a stop halfway across the room, surrounded by disabled drones, I don't even try to move. My mind is overwhelmed by pain, not just from the breaking of my arm, but also from the reformation of it. How am I going to fight him long enough to destroy him? He might not be able to kill my body, at least not permanently, but he can certainly break my psyche. He can turn me into a shell of a man. No, I decide, pushing myself up onto my newly formed arm. If 10 years awake in a cryo bed wasn't enough to destroy my mind, then neither can this asshole. When I look across the room for Synergy, I don't see him. Where did he go, I think. But the answer drops down from above. The airborne Synergy slams into my gut, driving his knees down hard. Something inside me pops. Heat washes through me, and then pain. My vision fades. Death has come for me again. The cold embrace is quick. Darkness flows over me. My resurrection comes with a wave of agonizing nausea and garbled mechanical laughter. I groan, holding my stomach. Death has forsaken you, Will. How hard that must be. I can't imagine. Can you imagine anything? I ask. I'm not sure why I'm bothering to engage him. Maybe to buy some time to heal. And then what? I'm on my back, straddled by a robot body I can't possibly lift or damage. The top of his mouth smiles. Oh, yes. And I've come up with a long list of ways to end your life. Forever. He draws his arm back, holds his fingers together, and drives his fan into my chest like a spear tip. Something in my chest folds in on itself, and my breathing feels useless. He's pierced my lung. I shake my head when Synergy draws back his other arm and repeats the attack, putting his hands through both lungs. My mind swims with numbness, and a moment later, nothing at all. When I wake up again, Synergy says, "And ever," before wrapping his blood-soaked hands around my head and squeezing. I hear a moment of cracking and my own screaming voice before darkness returns suddenly once more. My eyes open once more to the sound of "Endeavor." I'm barely conscious when I feel Synergy's metal hand around my heart squeezing against its rapid beat. Then death, again. That moment of mercy returns. "Stop," I say upon returning once more. "Please." I was wrong about cryosleep, about the resilience of my psyche. I can't exist like this. 4 horrible deaths in a row is enough to undo my will. "I'll do whatever you..." That's when I realize the weight that had been holding me down is absent. "You're dead," I hear Synergy say, and despite my deplorable mental state, I quickly understand that he's not talking to me. My body roils in pain as I try to sit up, the torn muscles and tendons and bones and organs still reforming. I push past the ache and see Synergy standing a few feet away from me, facing down the large mech drone that killed Cap. "Totally not dead," the drone replies, its eyes flaring. The voice. It's Gal. All around the room, drones hum to life, lifting off from the floor, encircling Synergy. "I could have died when I was in that body, but you didn't destroy me. You overwrote me. But data is a two-way street. You took my body, and I took back the ship." I nearly let out a whooping cheer, and after stifling that, I nearly laugh. Gal all but told me that this was her plan. It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but retire a little from sight, and afterwards return again. I was a fool for missing it. I could have kept Synergy talking until Gal's return. It would have been a far more comfortable alternative to dying repeatedly. But she's here now. Synergy roars with anger and throws himself at the large drone. He delivers several solid punches while the drone's many long arms snap down like praying mantis forelegs, slowly dismantling his armored back.
The violence of it is unnerving, neither foe feeling pain, just tearing into the other. I flinch when a voice right next to my head whispers, "Get the bat." A small drone hovers beside my face. It turns toward the bat's large half, 30 feet away. Then it turns back to me. "Get the bat." The red light glows a little brighter. "Now?" I start by crawling. Then as my body finishes its patch job, I shift to my feet and hobble. By the time I reach the broken bat and pluck it from the floor, I'm moving at a run. I'm not sure what Gal has planned, but I'm pretty sure it involves me whacking Synergy with the bat. The small drone matches my pace. "Get ready," she whispers, and then says, "This is going to be fun." "Everything is fun to you," I reply. "Life is fun," she says. "Once you figure that out, you won't be such a sourpuss." I slow down as we approach Synergy and the large drone, still shredding each other. "Get ready. Aim for the blue light." I'm about to ask what she means when the mech drone's uninjured arms snap down onto Synergy's back, puncturing a solid metal plate and then yanking it up. A blue circle of light glows from within. It's his power source, I think, and without a second thought, I jam the jagged end of the broken bat into the blue. There are no last words, no final scream of defeat. There's just light and pain and death. Again. I'm still smoldering when I open my eyes. The visa melted clean off my red-hot, still-reforming skin. When I groan, the small drone accompanying me hovers overhead. "I'd ask if you're okay," Gal says, "but you're still a little melted, so..." I smile a little, but my lips crack open, the sting chasing my grin away. "Try not to move," Gal says. "You've been... dead for a few minutes." "What?" I whisper. "You got blown up," she says. "Why didn't I tell you? You would have hesitated." She's right about that. When it comes to my many deaths, this is by far the most painful of them. Despite that, I can't help but feel relief. "Glad you're alive." If she still had a face, I'm sure she'd be smiling. "We can build another." The drone above me twists back and forth like a shaking head. "I've got a bigger body now. Synergy is gone and the firewall's with him. You two can go wherever you want." "You mean we can go?" The drone is shaking the knot head again. "You two." The drone turns to the side. I follow its gaze and see Capria's naked body lying still, surrounded by a hovering circle of drones. They're machines without expression, but something about them seems expectant. "You," Gal says, "and her." The subtle rise and fall of ribs, drawing in and expelling one breath after another, pulls me up and past my injuries. Oh my God. Capria is alive. 29. "You lied to me." I'm shuffle running through the maze of Galahad's hallways. Capria hangs in my arms, broken but alive. Like her, I'm mostly naked, though some of the melted virtual skin still clings to my skin, small sheets of it peeling away as I move. "I omitted the information," Gal replies. "And you never asked. Turn right." I follow Gal's directions, even though my trust in her is once again shaken. "You didn't think Capria being immortal was pertinent information?" "That's precisely how I thought of it," she says. "Please remember that you made me to make you happy. After reviewing the crew's history, I didn't believe Capria would be able to make you happy." "That wasn't your decision to make," I say. "It is the kind of decision you made me to make. In a virtual world," I say, "not the real world. But I'm more than you meant to be." The lone drone under Gal's control speeds ahead and turns right through a large open doorway labeled medical. Her voice continues through the ship's speakers. "And the emotions I experienced as a newly sentient creation made me selfish." I grumble but say nothing. She's right. Despite being an AI with access to all of human knowledge, she had no real way to process the confusing emotional battlefield that comes with being an HI. Gal's confession is an outward sign of her continuing evolution. I'm the one who rushed her into full functionality.
I released what was essentially an alpha build into the wild, giving it full control of the ship and my life. But I can't blame myself either. I'd spent 10 years in motionless, solitary, failed cryosleep, and another 6+ years on my own, 5 of them spent coding. I wasn't exactly rooted in the real world at that point. I'm probably still not. But the revelation that Capria is not just alive, but one of the 8 people Jared Adams genetically altered, is grounding me for the first time in a long time. My thoughts flit back to the recording he left for me. The answer was right there. He said, "The 8 of you represent humanity's best chance at not just reproduction, but becoming something better." I knew 6 of them had fled to Cognata, and that I alone remained. Had I stopped to think, I might not have overlooked the missing immortal. Might have realized it was Capria who was paired with me for obvious reasons now. Might have avoided the painful chaos of Gal's violent birth and Synergy's vengeful return. Or, I think, placing Capria down on a medbed. Maybe all of this was necessary. Without Gal's temporary brush with madness, I would have never discovered the version of me capable of fighting. Without Gal moving to an independent body, Synergy would have never become envious of her life and made himself vulnerable by taking it for himself, an act that removed the ship's firewalls and returned control of the Galahad to a reformed Gal. Perhaps everything worked out for the best. I looked down at Capria's broken form, her skin intact, but her insides broken and shifted about. Perhaps not. She's not healing. Are you sure about her? She's also not dead, Gal says, and follows her off-the-cuff remark with, "Jared Adams's record lists her as a recipient of gene modification, and there are documents, videos, and images detailing the same procedures performed on you being performed on her, as well as on 6 of the 12 crew members who escaped to Cognata. Unless he is lying and all this documentation was falsified as an elaborate ruse, it's safe to say she received the same changes to her DNA as you." Then maybe it doesn't work the same with different people. Early testing performed on the 8 affected crew members revealed a similar proclivity for healing and telomere degradation resistance. There is no reason to think she is any different from you. Except that she's been in cryogenic sleep for many more years, I point out. Maybe that affected the... That seems unlikely, Gal says. But maybe her current state of chemically induced cryosleep is prohibiting her body's regenerative abilities. Aside from basic life functions, she is, in effect, shut down. Perhaps she needs to be rebooted. That she's using computer terms for a human being feels odd, but we're beyond odd, and in some ways done differentiating between the two. People really are just biological machines run by biological computers. Well, how do we do that? I ask. The drone hums across medical. I look around the large room for the first time as I follow the little robot's progress. There are a dozen medbeds, but the rest of the room is stark and empty, surrounded by smooth white walls. Beyond tests run on me for the mission, I haven't spent much time in a medical bay, that I can remember. So I'm not entirely familiar with how everything works. "Plug in the bed," Gal says, observing my confusion. I look over the head of the bed. There are 2 metal prongs extending out of the base, just a few inches away from 2 holes in the wall. A gentle shove unites bed and wall. The bed comes to life, forming a short wall around Capria's body and extending an arched display over her chest. A hologram revealing her vitals projects from the top of the arch. I don't understand most of it, but her pulse is displayed in green, so I think that's good. But most of the rest is pulsing red. Devices slide out of the smooth wall, ready to be used by one of the 2 medical crew, but I don't recognize any of it. "Ignore it," Gal says. There's a whir across the room as a door slides up, revealing a large cooler, now leaking mist into the room. "Here," says the drone in Gal's voice. The bright red glow of the drone's faux eyes highlights a vacuum-sealed preloaded rapid injection tool, RIT. It's one of the few devices in medical that I recognize and know how to use. Some tech jocks RIT caffeine for long hours. I always abstain from the practice, as it speeds up the metabolism and all but requires the simultaneous use of a catheter. But I don't think this is caffeine. "What is it?" I ask, while tearing into the plastic, keeping the device sterile.
epinephrine, Gal says.
I pause. Epinephrine is liquid adrenaline. It's going to send her heart into high gear, pump up her blood pressure, and send her mind into overdrive. She'll not only wake up, but she'll experience everything a little more intensely than usual.
That's going to wake her up. Fast. And it should allow her to heal.
Should. I cringe inwardly. I know what it feels like to die upon waking from cryosleep. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But Capri is not going to wake to a screwdriver through her heart. Her insides are torn apart. What if she doesn't heal, I wonder. But I'm not strong enough to voice the question. What if she's stuck like this, broken and living? What then? Too many horrible possibilities begin to assault my imagination. Making these kinds of decisions for myself has been relatively easy compared to deciding the very painful fate of another human being. Gal has less trouble. The longer you wait, the greater the chance of bullshit, I say. If she can heal, she can heal. It's just not easy condemning someone to this kind of agony.
Pain is the crucible in which true strength is created, Gal says.
You're quoting now?
Actually, that's a Gal original. But it's really just a variation of whatever doesn't kill you
and makes you stronger.
I lower the RIT to the side of Capria's neck. That's an old one.
But is it true? I ask.
Put the RIT on her leg, Gal says. You don't want that hitting her brain all at once.
Does it matter? The truth?
I move the RIT to Capria's thigh. My finger hovers over the trigger.
It does to me.
It's not true. There was a long history of people surviving tragic circumstances but never fully regaining their mental or emotional strength.
Oh, that's depressing. But some people do.
You have, she says. And that is probably the most important data point. There is nothing in your files, both professional and personal, that suggests you had the fortitude to survive what you have without losing your mind. Will, you were kind of a pussy.
Gal isn't quite as funny as she was when her mind was slipping, but she still has her moments.
So you're saying the change to my DNA also made you more resilient, physically, mentally, emotionally? If she really is like you, and I think she is, then she will pull through.
I wait for a tacked on eventually, or I hope, but Gal is confident.
Screw it. I pull the trigger. There's a half-second hiss as the vial's contents are ejected into Capria's bloodstream. Then I wait. Cap's breaths come faster, her flattened chest rising and falling a little faster. Her eyes twitch beneath the lids, fingers curl, raking against the cushioned fabric beneath her. Her mouth turns down in a deep frown. The holographic display above her goes all red and blinking. Capria's scream knocks me back. The sudden volume of it painful to hear, not just on my ears, but in my heart. As her body quakes on the medbed, bones and muscles reforming, shoving her organs back into place, I return to her side. I put my hands on her shoulders, holding her down, keeping her from injuring herself. Hot tears drip from my cheeks, gathering on her clavicle. Seeing her pain and knowing the profound ache of it, I find my emotions reverting to when I cared for her, when I loved her.
I'm sorry.
Her eyes pop open, lost in pain.
It will pass, I tell her. Just hold on.
Something loud pops back into place, drawing a fresh scream from her full lips. But now she's looking right at me, her dark brown eyes asking why. Her eyes shift to my hands, holding her down. Outrage flickers in her expression when she turns her gaze down to her own nakedness. It blossoms into an inferno when she sees that I'm naked too. Disoriented by her sudden and painful awakening, finding herself pinned down by a naked man who she knows has feelings for her, her body's natural adrenaline kicks the epinephrine into overdrive, superfueling her primal sense of fight or flight. Faced with these circumstances, some people would run, hide, or simply curl up and pray for the end. Capria is not some people, and I see it a moment too late. Cap's palm thrusts up, driving my nose to the side and snapping the bone. Blood pours free as I clutch the wounded flesh and stumble back.
Cap, I say, my voice wet and garbled. You're okay.
We're okay, just take it easy. Let me explain. But I can see it in her wild eyes. She doesn't believe me. I shift my nose forward, shouting over the sharp crack of grinding bone, but I don't worry myself too much about it. In a few seconds, I won't even feel it. Cap, you're safe. Where are Jung and Morgan? She asks, searching medical for the Galahad's medics. Jung is dead and Morgan is on Cognata, either long since dead or alive and immortal, but light years in our rear view. Her eyes narrow. Where is Tom? The look on my face must be all of the confirmation she needs, because she slides out from under the medical arch and onto the floor. Her body is whole once again, strong, and ready to fight. 30. I raise my hands and back away, which seems like a good idea until I put even the briefest thought into it. Aside from the melted visa still peeling off my backside, I'm naked. Any normal person would react with shame first, covering themselves before raising their hands. After a few steps, I do, but it feels like, and probably looks like, a show. Forced modesty is no way to convince a woman your intentions aren't nefarious. So I try talking. Capria, I nearly say it's not what it looks like, which to her would probably just reinforce that it is what it looks like. Look, you can leave. I'm not going to stop you. If you tell me to go stand in the corner, I motion to the corner of the room furthest from her. I'll do stand in a fucking corner? She's wild-eyed, looking for the exit. You're in medical, I tell her. You're okay. I'm not going to hurt you, I swear. Why are we naked? You just came out of cryosleep, I tell her. I was wearing a visa, but it melted. Fuck you, it melted. She spots the closed doors and takes a step toward them. I make no move to follow or block her path. If she runs, I'm going to let her go. Cap, I say, slowly turning around. When she stops moving to look at my back, I reach over my shoulder, find a frayed edge, and pull. The stretchy, clear material peels away with a sharp sting. When it's free, I hold it up for her to see. The skin is thin and malformed, but the sensors embedded in it are impossible to confuse for something else. I'm not lying to you. Whether she believes me or not, I'm not sure, but she doesn't try to run. And, unlike me, she makes no effort to hide her nakedness. Where is everyone? A lot has happened, I say. Where? Tom made changes to the system. She stares ahead with the stoic, unblinking eyes of someone who knows the truth but is determined to hide behind a wall of unflinching stillness. I know what, and I know why. She squints at me. Part of her wanting to argue, part probably wondering how much I really know and how much trouble she will be in when the crew finds out. We don't need to talk about that, I tell her. Her shoulders lower, the burden of her misdeeds lifted a bit. What we do need to talk about, and what you don't know, is that after Tom made his alterations and visited you, pursed lips mark Cap's shift back into anger, but my next words squelch her anger, confusion, and fear all at once. He didn't go back to sleep. She deflates a bit. What? I motion to the bed. You can sit. You should probably sit. While she stares at the bed, perhaps still pondering my intentions, I say, Gal, some clothing? Two drawers slide out of the wall, invisible until their emergence. Inside one are a dozen coveralls in Cap's size. The second holds my size. I take one of each, and the drawers close without a word from me. Gal is watching and listening, but wisely staying quiet for now. After her violent birth, Cap needs to be eased into her new reality. Here. I toss Capria the garment from a distance, and then divert my eyes while she dresses. I peel a few loose patches of virtual skin from the back of my legs and butt, pulling the coveralls up over them, but there is a swatch of the stuff at the center of my back that I can't reach. When Capria is clothed, I turn my back to her and ask, Would you mind? You're going to tell me what the hell is going on? Despite the lack of an answer, I back up to her.
and why the hell I felt like I was being torn apart when I woke up?
She pinches the melted visa between her fingers and then yanks it all off, hard. I flinch and hiss in pain, but it fades quickly. I seal the coverall's magnetic zipper and turn around to face her again. She's leaning against the medbed, arms crossed.
You've got about 30 seconds before I kick your ass and go find someone else.
How do you tell someone that everyone and everything she cared about is long since gone, that she's trapped on a spaceship that's been hurtling through space faster than the speed of light, and that her boyfriend is responsible for all of it?
10 seconds, she says, before I've come up with an answer or even a starting point.
She stands away from the bed, eyeing the door again.
You can leave, I tell her, if you want.
But you won't find the answers out there.
Where is Tom?
Tom? I shake my head and sit on the medbed across from Caps. Tom stayed awake for the last year of the trip to Cognata.
He what?
She sounds more angry than surprised. He's not the only one who broke protocol, I say, and the anger in my voice surprises us both. My feelings about what Tom did and Capri's involvement in it have remained bottled up for years. I can feel the rage gurgling beneath the surface.
What you did, what the two of you did...
Fuck, Cap, what were you thinking?
Would life with me have really been that bad?
My last words flip her emotions on their head once more.
Is that what this is about? I knew it. You couldn't just let it go. Let us be happy.
Yeah, we broke protocol to avoid being paired with people we didn't love. Is that so? Tom killed everyone. Her right eye blinks 3 times before whatever mental reset I've just triggered completes.
What?
That's not how I planned to launch into this conversation, but it's the same blunt, honest truth I had to face upon waking up. So why not her? I'm not exactly in a merciful mood, so I go with it. Tom stayed awake for a year on his own, fucked with Galahad systems, duplicated his consciousness as an AI, went insane, and killed nearly every fucking member of our crew. I don't know if the double fuck is too much, but I was holding back.
Tom did that. And you,
I stab a finger in her direction, are partly responsible. I can see she's stunned, but remembering every one of Tom's offenses fuels my tirade. He loved you, I know that. He would have never woken up early and changed your genetic partner without your consent. And when he woke you up to tell you, you didn't give a shit about protocols, about our mission, or the survival of the human race. She's unraveling, folding in on herself. She's not even asking for proof of what I've told her. Whether or not she believes my brief statement about the crew's fate, she knows I'm telling the truth now.
You could have prevented everything that happened. You could have.
I wipe a tear that is snuck out of my eye. She sees it, and that small micro expression of my sadness is all it takes to convince her that everything I've said is the truth. Her hand goes to her mouth a moment too late to block the sob that escapes. I give her a moment. And despite part of me wanting to comfort her, I offer nothing. I just let her weep, knowing that I have more to tell her, more weight to heap back on her shoulders.
Tom is dead, I tell her.
She fades into tears again, mourning the man she loved enough to put our mission at risk. 5 minutes later, she's back, wiping her arm across her nose.
Who is left?
14 people survived. A sob hiccups through her body, but she reins it in. He killed them as they woke, I say. I was last. He stabbed me with a screwdriver. Her brow furrows.
I didn't see a bandage. Some time has passed, I say. A wound like that would take months to heal, she says.
It's less of an accusation and more of a realization. Then she's eyeing me again.
I didn't see a scar.
I need to tell you about the survivors, I say. She waits. They left.
They're on Kepler 452B?
I nod.
Are they okay? Can we join them?
I don't know, I say. And no.
Why not?
Her eyes widen.
They know too. Is this a punishment?
Something far inside me aches from the insinuation that being stuck on Galahad with me is punishment. I decide to ignore it. Cap, I say. Before Tom died, how did he die? Seriously, the question feels like a slap. Not important.
Will.
I stabbed him with the screwdriver he put through my heart, I think, and then I say, I killed him. Her face goes rigid, frown locked in place. Before you vocalize your misplaced rage, I tell her, I can take you on a tour of the dead, and you won't see me shedding a tear for fucking Tom when we stop by his corpse. The man killed everyone. The human race is over because of him. If he's not rotting in a level of hell designed just for him, I stop short, my chest heaving. You don't get to judge me. You don't get to look at me with anything other than gratitude for sparing you from the nightmare he left in his wake. You didn't have to fight for your life, naked and covered in your own blood and in the blood of your friends. You didn't have to drag their bodies. Raw emotion overwhelms me, and it's my turn to weep, letting old emotions long since buried resurface. You didn't watch anyone die. You didn't see the volcanic pile of shit your boyfriend turned into a nest. You didn't have to fight for control of this ship against Tom's alter ego turned AI. I hate Tom. I hate Synergy. And if you even consider laying any of that on me, I swear I will knock your ass out and put you back in cryosleep for another 7 years.
Seven? Years?
That she's been in a deep sleep for 7 years since her man slaughtered the crew and doomed humanity shouldn't be her biggest take away from my tirade. That it is, sends me into a rage bordering on violent. I stand and walk away from her, my fingers flexing. Gal, I say.
Yeah, Will.
Show her.
Show her what exactly?
Security feeds. Everything. I head for the doors.
Where are you going?
Capria asks, standing from the bed. I stop in the hallway and turn around.